Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Carlo Barone of WCBI Sports. Now, get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Just Brian Haydad here with you on a Thursday morning. Nothing wrong with Carlo or anything. Apparently up at his neck of the woods while he's up there. Big storms today, power outages. They just don't have any power. So nothing wrong with Carlo. Don't worry about him. He's doing good. But just me today on the podcast. I want to thank you all for joining me here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. Appreciate you guys out there, my great listeners, our great listeners, especially our service minimum out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. If you're not in Starkville, if you're not in Tupelo, no problem. Just head over to strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. They'll deliver it right to your door, strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you're trying to cook out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. Nobody's mad when you invite them to the cookout and you say, hey, we're having steaks, having burgers. I got a brisket on the smoker. Nobody's complaining. Maybe a vegetarian, bless them, but other than that. So, this weekend, fire up the grill and throw some beef on there. Everybody will be happy, especially you. You'll be the star of the show. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for. Everything maroon and white, everything Mississippi State there at College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area, Ridgeon by Fleet Feet, Floor by the Half Shell, or shop online, collegecornerstore.com. You guys already know we're getting closer and closer to game day. It's time to get that new game day look, that game day fit, as the kids call it. Carla's not here to make fun of me. Get it at College Corner. Priority One Bank, 16 locations here to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only how they're going to be invested and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for your future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers. You want to talk to a banker that knows you by name, not just by your account number. A banker that's going to treat you with respect and give you a level of service you're only going to get at Priority One Bank. If you live in Central Mississippi, you live near a Priority One Bank location. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. We're going to do a quick unveiling here. Let me roll back here. I mentioned that Section 103 had some new polos that are going to be available. They're not available just yet, but I wanted you to go ahead and get a look at them and see what they sent us. Hold on 1 second, please. I like these. I hope you guys will like them as well. They'll be available very soon. You can use our promo code TL10, but I just wanted to show them to you. Here's the first one. I hope you guys can see this. Got the cowbell print with, oh, there it is. Would you look at that? So cowbell print with the interlocking. This is Carlo's. And then mine, we've got the state of Mississippi with, again, there it is right there, that interlocking MSU. So these are some really cool polos. Thanks to our friends at Section 103, the official apparel provider of Thunder and Lightning. When those polos come online, you know I will get you taken care of. But check them out, section103.com. All right, I got a couple interviews to throw in here. Plus, I need to do got a lot of housekeeping. Taking off last week has put us behind. We've got an opponent preview to do today. We're going to talk about the Alabama Crimson Tide. We got two SEC previews to do this week. So today is Texas A&M. We'll get Vandy tomorrow when Carlo comes back. But I want to start with I'm going to play my interview from yesterday's Not Fall Camp Tour with Zach Selman, just in case you missed it, because we covered a lot of ground in that. Notably, I asked him, and I'm also going to play Jeff Lebby's audio from his press conference on Tuesday, talking about Jerron Manning and Malik Sylla. Let's go a little further into it. Here's the truth of this matter. And real quick, let me find this statement that Greg Sankey released. So the SEC yesterday, like right at the time we were going on the air, released this statement. Here it is. I'm just going to read it. Give me a second here. Court filings and rulings related to the current NCAA eligibility landscape remain highly dynamic. Highly dynamic. Can't we just say it's a fluid situation? Well, why we got to be so... Anyway. As these various court proceedings continue, institutions should operate under existing NCAA rules, interpretations, and applicable conference rules unless and until otherwise advised by the NCAA, the conference, or a court order. Recent court rulings should not be interpreted as creating broader eligibility relief beyond the scope of applicable orders. In addition, SEC eligibility rules, including those relating to interconference transfers, remain in effect, though fully or individually waived, or the rule is changed. If your institution is presented with a fact-specific eligibility question, please coordinate with your compliance office and conference staff before acting or making commitments based on an assumption regarding an individual's eligibility. We are actively evaluating these issues and monitoring developments, including ongoing court proceedings and any appeals. We will provide any additional information as circumstances warrant. Please feel free to reach out to conference staff or me with questions. Long story short, he's saying out loud, don't play Jerron Manning and Malik Sylla. He's not targeting Mississippi State. I'm just saying, until it's done. And so you're going to hear in the interview with Zach Selman, and I will play the Lebby audio first. They are both very vague about it, as they should be. As Lebby is going to, you're going to hear him say it a couple times. I think there's a lot of boxes left to check. This is in no way, shape, or form done. The guys are on campus. They are not practicing with the team. They are in the facility, which means I'm sure they're working with trainers. They're lifting weights. They're running on their own, but they are not part of this team yet. If that becomes the case, you know, and Lebby mentions that, he's like, I'm going to focus on the guys that are here. And what he's saying is, if those guys end up on the field, I'll start worrying about Malik Sylla and Jerron Manning at that point. Do I think it's going to happen? Well, at this point, the NCAA's record in these cases is not great. Guys who want to find eligibility seem to find a way to find it. It could end up with a situation where Mississippi State goes to a judge and has to get a ruling on that. And a lot of people who made fun of Trinidad Chambliss may have to be like, well, that was different, which it was different. But regardless of that, I think they'll play. I could be wrong. I think they'll play. I think they'll find a way to get them eligible. You know, how quickly can they play? I don't think you can rely on them for week one. I mean, they not only do they have to get back into football shape, which I assume they're not, but they have to learn a new system. This is not the same system they played in a season ago. And I'm sure, you know, Arnett will do everything he can in his power to get his guys ready, but to think that maybe week one or week two, they're just in there playing, I don't know, maybe by week three or week four. And that's assuming that this eligibility is squared away quickly. You know, I think, honestly, if you get to week one or week two and they haven't ruled on this, and it appears like they're expediting things, but if they haven't ruled, I think at that point you just have to say, I don't know what we can do. I don't think we can do it. So we'll see. There's a lot of we'll see right now with this. But the fact that State is letting these guys into the facility, I think that leads you to believe, you just have to make a little common sense here, they believe that these guys can get eligible. They wouldn't let them. They wouldn't go through all of this. That story doesn't leak if State doesn't truly, truly believe they could be eligible. State would have just been like, guys, we just don't think it's going to happen. We appreciate it, but it's just not going to happen. I think the fact that they're on campus is a good sign, but in this day and age, I never take anything for granted. You can't know for sure until it's done. So. All right, let's play some audio for you here. We'll start with this quick quote, or a couple of quotes from head coach Jeff Lebby.
You talked about there have been some discussions about bringing a couple players back. Yeah. So where are you in that process?
Yeah, with those two guys back in the building right now, there's not really anything else to say because they're not eligible. So they've got to go through a process. They're back in the building. We'll see how it all plays out.
Is this really just about getting ahead of the curve just in case things
work out? Yeah, you just want to make sure the guys that are in that have that opportunity are back in the building and getting ready if it ends up being what we hope.
So they're unable to practice yet?
That's right.
They're just
in the building.
What's that process look like to get them back to be eligible?
There's a lot of boxes to get checked.
Just on the surface, you know those guys pretty well,
yeah.
And they were a big part of your defense last year.
Yeah.
If they are eligible and you have them, what did they add to this defense this year?
Yeah, I haven't really taken my mind there because they're not eligible. My mind's on the guys that I know that are going to play on that first Saturday in Davis Wade. So if they come back, then my mind will go there. But right now, again, I'm completely concerned and tuned in to the guys that are eligible for that first Saturday.
And so, you know, kind of what I expected from Lebby, if we're being completely honest, that he, you know, doesn't have a lot of concrete information. There's a lot of hoops left to, you know, whatever you want to say, hurdles, hoops, boxes to check, however you want to put it, they exist. So those are his comments. Now we're going to go to my full interview with Zach Selman from yesterday's Not Fall Camp Tour at the Landing. By the way, real quick, want to give a shout out to the Landing. Impeccable hospitality, great food, good people up there. The Landing, I mean, I'm not telling you guys anything you don't know, especially our students. Got to meet a lot of great listeners. Appreciate you guys coming by. I hope we gave away a lot of stuff. Hope you guys enjoy that. Really fun. Really fun. It set a high bar for the next stop when we're in Oxford on Tuesday. All right. But we got the chance to sit down and talk for a long time, an extended conversation with Mississippi State Athletic Director Zach Selman. We talked about a lot of topics, this Manning situation, Sylla situation being one of them, his thoughts on the stadium, potential upgrades, and the calendar for that. You know, stuff that's going on in college football. Talked about the interlocking logo for a moment there as well. It's all right here. Of course, all of our interviews here on Thunder and Lightning are brought to you by our friends over at Allura Modern Wellness. Are you working out right now? It's hot outside. You're outside getting a run in, getting a walk in. You're going to the gym. You're putting your body through it. Guys, it's so important that you put as much into recovery as you do into working out, and Allura Modern Wellness is here to help you do exactly that. An incredible number of services that come in and help you figure out how to keep your body feeling at its best so that when you do work out, you're getting the maximum results. Recovery is just as much a part of being healthy as everything else you do, as diet and exercise and everything else. So help, let Allura Modern Wellness help you. You can call them today at 662-268-9255, or you can visit them online at AlluraModernWellness.com. You can look at all their services and book all of their services right there online, AlluraModernWellness.com. They bring you this interview with Mississippi State Athletic Director Zach Selman.
Mississippi State going on right now. Let's just dive right into it. What's exciting you right now about what's happening here in Starkville?
Oh, so much. You know, this time of year when students start coming back to campus, you always get excited. I know the streets will be full, shops will be full of all the supplies, but it's always a good time, too, to pause of, like, why we do what we do. And we do it because of we're under the umbrella of higher education. And, you know, we've actually got a family that's staying with us getting here tonight, and they're dropping their daughter off. And she's their first kid or the oldest sibling, first time to go to college. So you get all those emotions, and I think it just expands out of all the young people that are about to start their journeys at Mississippi State. And that's always special. And within athletics, you know, this time of year means, okay, we got some competitions about to get started.
Yeah.
And with having, you know, volleyball has been in camp, soccer starts tomorrow night with their first game, and then clearly we just finished the fifth football practice earlier today. So we're already 20% way through camp. That means we got a lot of stuff about to start, and that's really exciting.
A friend of mine just texted me before the show started. He's a diehard Golden Eagle. And he's like, my daughter's on her way up here. He's like, I was like, give her my number. If you have any real trouble, let me help. I can't tell you how many of my friends from high school that were Rebels, Tigers, Golden Eagles, they send their kids to Mississippi State now. So I don't know what we're doing over there, but let's just keep doing that.
Because
I enjoy those conversations now that now they have to buy some new gear.
For sure. We need them to buy a lot of new merch. And, it's a special time, you know, for families and you know, my wife and I were talking. Our oldest daughter, Shane, just started her sophomore year in high school. And so it's like, man, we're going to be dropping her off on campus here in a couple of years. Time flies.
Yeah.
And we can't forget about, you know, again, why we're doing what we're doing. And there's nothing better than college campus.
That's interesting because we get a little bit cynical with what we do, especially with high-level football. You see that, you know, $50 million rosters and professional athletes. But still, at its core, you're still doing the same things that you've always done in terms of trying to get these young men and women on track to get degrees. And, I mean, from 18 to 22, there's a lot of growth in your life that goes on beyond just, you know, the NIL money, that kind of stuff that you have to deal with.
Yeah, sometimes you see whether it's resources or – just the size of athletes now, but at the end of the day, they're still young people. And, you know, I know move-in on campus starts tomorrow for some groups and goes throughout the weekend. And just like everybody else, we'll have 70, just over 70 student athletes that are going to be moving in the dorm. And so that's really fun, too, from start. And they've got, yes, they're elite athletes, but you got all the same emotions, and we can never lose sight of that.
Yeah. Let's dive into a little bit of Mississippi State. We'll start with the news that broke yesterday from Pete Thamel regarding a couple student athletes possibly returning to the Mississippi State football team. We talked to Coach Lebby earlier today. He was vague about it, but I think he had to be vague about it because there's so much gray area right now. I think his quote was, there's a lot of boxes left to check. From the university perspective, what does Mississippi State need to do? Or are you doing anything? Is it just a question of you got to wait on the NCAA to make their own decisions?
Yes, so much of the changes that are going on, and I know it seems abnormal, could seem frustrating for a lot of different people. It's frustrating for a lot of us, too, as practitioners in it, because you try to make a plan, and then something like a court case in Colorado changes what your plans are. And so for us, we're always going to play within the rules, but if the rules change, we're going to have to be able to adapt to them. So it's really nice to have both guys back on campus and working out, but we'll have to go through a handful of other steps with the NCAA, and there's still some rulings that we have to come out and hear how they go. So it's not there's no like just clear-cut answers. And I think from a different model, that's what we're all really trying to fight for. So there is some sustainability and some clear direction on national standards. But until we get there, this is kind of the world we're operating in, and we're going to have to continue to be as bold as we possibly can.
Without violating privilege, what are those steps? Is it submitting stuff to the NCAA? I mean, because we saw Arian Carter at Tennessee get suspended for getting one flight paid for, which is laughable in and of itself. But so what are the steps in order to get these guys eligible, or do you even know what the steps are right
now? Yeah, so we're continuing, and our compliance office does a great job working with our conference office, but also with the NCAA. On getting our athletes back eligible. Some of it's just going to be a little bit of time, and there's no, again, this is every change, there's always downstream effects, and so we're still learning through all those boxes that Coach Lebby referenced earlier to make sure that, you know, we're communicating the right thing to our athletes, but also it's going to take some time for us to make sure we get them, we get it properly vetted out, and they can hopefully have an opportunity to play. But a lot of it's going to be outside of our control.
When you got into college athletics, I imagine this was what you wanted to be talking about.
There's a lot of has changed in college athletics. But, you know, you love what you do because you work with great people and you get to work with so many amazing coaches and athletes. But there's so much that's changed. And you think about it, a year ago, could you forecast some of the changes that have happened today? You're like, absolutely not. So, again, that's from a national level, from a conference level. That's why we're also bullish on making sure that we can get some national standards, that we can plan accordingly and make a great experience for everybody.
A year ago, you guys made the announcement you're going to install LED lights at Davis-Wade Stadium. I thought they were fantastic, you know, especially the Arizona State game, the post-game scenes are that. What's next at Davis-Wade Stadium? I know that the speakers are on the list. Where is that? What's the calendar for that?
Yeah, so like anything, you know, this time last year we were just rolling out, I believe it's just over $9 million in facility enhancements at Davis-Wade, everything geared at, we want to make sure we continue to have a great environment. And I thought games like the Arizona State game, and I know this year with our opener, we'll have an opportunity to really display the lights, and also our conference opener with Missouri, I believe it was a night window game. So we're continuing to look at it as we go from this time last year to now. There's a lot that's changed just on the economics and what the cost to retain rosters, to increase NIL offerings. So as we look at it, we want sound just as much as everybody. I want sound. Every time I'm standing in Davis-Wade on Saturday, I know what sound can, elite sound system can do for the in-game environment. But we also got to recognize this, the changes that are going on in our industry. So I can't give you an exact timetable of when it'll happen. Just know I want it, our fans want it, we want it, everybody wants it, but we also have a great responsibility to be as smart with resources in this era as possible. We'll continue to look at things along with what we can do with the lights, what we can do with temporary sound options, also what we can do with our concessions and all of our points of sale. So those things will continue to be as bold moving forward as we possibly can. But know that our commitment to the sound project, just like we've shown, I think, over the last couple of years of putting in just north of $80 million in our facility projects across the board, you have to have all of it. And that's one of the key messages here, I think, in this era. Maybe things don't go as fast from a facility infrastructure, but it continues to take all of it to make sure we have the systems and the facilities in place, along with everything that we have to do with the economic changes of our business, to make sure we're a holistic competitive program.
We had Coach, we had Jeremy McClain on last week, and I kind of asked him about this. How tough is it nowadays? We only got a couple minutes left in this segment. With NIL, you want to try to convince your fans, we need to channel our money here. But facilities are still a thing, and you have to have top-notch facilities. How difficult is that messaging?
I empathize with fans, with donors, because it's been confusing for us a lot over the last couple of years, and it's really confusing for our fans and our donor base. I think the answer to your question is it takes everything, and I'm eternally grateful for the season ticket holders, for the donors, all the alums that have really stepped up and helped us getting us in a position to where we're at today. The reality is, especially in our conference, you have to have everything if you're trying to go after the level of athletes we are, to not only get there, but also make sure that we have a program that's built for sustainability and success long term.
Speaking with Zach Selman, Mississippi State Athletic Director here at The Landing. It's the Not Fall Camp Tour. We're going to keep him around here for just a few more minutes and talk to him when we come back. Plenty still to talk about here at Mississippi State here in Starkville, so appreciate his time. We are here at The Landing. We would love for you to come out and join us if you would like. If you're, end of the day for you, we've got some of Dak's fine tequila right there, a shot. It's on us. Me and Borky have got you covered.
Hey, Ed's already downed a bottle.
That's
my second bottle.
Show
quality has gone down.
That's why I'm so giddy today, as they're telling us here. We'll be back in just a minute with Mississippi State Athletic Director Zach Selman. By the way, we were in Tampa for media days. You didn't tell me there was Selman Park and Selman Expressway and all this. I sent you a picture. I was like, where's your statue?
Hey, I better just go polish Uncle Leroy's statue off.
That caught me so off guard. I was like, Selman, I gotta get the phone out on that one. So,
one of the funny stories on that, I didn't realize that he had the expressway there in Tampa named after him. I was actually driving down the road with him, and I kind of passed a sign. I was like, wait a minute, Uncle Leroy, is that, are we on your expressway? He's like, yeah, it's not a big deal.
It means you can go as fast as you want.
He just show your name, right?
It's like, this is my road.
This is my road.
No, he's used to growing up, horses and buggies, and they rode mules to church. We go slow when my dad and then clearly when Uncle Leroy was living, he always drove really slow, so below the speed limit.
We just watched a cycle where Congress attempted to pass the Protect College Sports Act, whatever that act was. They did not even bring it to a vote before recess. There's doubts whether or not it'll pass at all. Are you at a place now where you are considering what your colleague in Knoxville is talking about, collective bargaining? Where are you? Where is Mississippi State's stance on Congress's involvement and what should happen next to bring rules back to the sports?
Yeah, I think it starts with what you just said. We have to have rules that everybody knows, that there's transparency with, that is enforceable, that's sustainable. And so one of the things is a recognition that what we're doing right now isn't working. And I appreciate so much work done locally on campuses, within conference offices, and then clearly with legislators in Washington, D.C. to help us get this to this point. I think we've had a lot of good discussions, and I know for Mississippi State it's great to have a president like Mark Keenum that has been involved in Washington most of his professional life. So he's got such great insight. I know working with the presidents and chancellors within the Southeastern Conference, I think just a couple Fridays ago there was a statement of support for the Protect College Sports Act between the Big Ten presidents and the SEC presidents. So I think the goal is continuing to see what happens after The Senate comes back from recess, which will be mid-September, is when kind of the timeline we're looking at where this goes. But there's a lot of steps left in that process. I think in the meantime, we also got to continue to explore what alternative options can be. Again, we know how things are going isn't sustainable. And I know I get tired of saying that word. Fans get tired of hearing that word. But until we have some national guardrails that we know what the rules are, that are enforceable, again, that there's clear national framework, we're going to continue to be in this patchwork system that doesn't really work for anybody. And so I'm in big favor of a lot of the things that are in the Protect College Sports Act. I know no bill is perfect, and so there's a lot of things that we got to continue to work through. I think in the meantime, one of the great things about the Southeastern Conference is the commitment to the whole, and some of the conversations we've had of making sure, regardless of what happens with the Protect College Sports Act, we got to continue to be in a position to put our institutions and our conference in a really good position. So again, we know what we're doing right now won't work, and so this is a step, and I hope we can continue to work with Congress to make sure that we protect everything that we love about college sports and make it so it's fair for everybody that participates, but also sets it up for future generations. You know, I got in this business a lot because of what college athletics did for me, and we want to continue to make sure we're providing broad-based opportunities for males, females, because it truly is life-changing. Sometimes, again, in this era when you see NIL money, you see all the transfers, all the things that you might say aren't great with college athletics. Let me tell you, when you see, you know, for us, just over 90% of our student athletes graduating, like that's meaningful. When you see the faces of kids that are about to move on campus, that's going to be really meaningful. So I think this is another step for us to try to take a step forward on national governance that can really help us have, again, rules, regulations, because without that, we're going to continue to be in this cycle where it's impossible to lead, impossible to manage.
You know, when you started here at Mississippi State, Mississippi State's NIL was not in a great place. We'll just be honest about it. Through a lot of hard work from you, your staff, from our friend Charlie Winfield, I feel like Mississippi State is in a place now where they are competitive within the Southeastern Conference and nationally in all the major sports for NIL. How do you feel about where State's NIL is right this second? Do you feel like – I feel like State's fans, for whatever reason, were slow to grip onto NIL, that they didn't want to do it at first. Do you feel now that you've got more acceptance from Mississippi State fans?
Yeah, I think people – I mean, anytime there's something new, it takes some time.
Yeah.
And so I think first it was just time and education on what it is, what it isn't. And our team has worked tirelessly to work with outside partners, work with systems within the athletics department, what we can control, to put us in a position where we can be competitive. And we've grown a lot nationally, and especially in the Southeastern Conference. The year-over-year spends are going up at an exponential rate. You know, when you look at we've had record years of revenue each of the 3 years we've been here. But the rate of change, the rate of escalation, especially for roster retention, and that's one thing I don't think gets talked enough about, but when you look at where our NIL programs have been, I just look back at the football transfer class of this past offseason of being able to retain guys like Kamario Taylor that could have gone anywhere, Kelly Jones who could have went to the NFL or would be starting on any program in the country. The list will go on and on. Isaac Smith, Anthony Evans, and then you look at a player like Josh Hubbard. That just doesn't happen.
Right.
And again, I'm not saying that disparaging of anything, but it's just that's the new world that we're living in. So for us to be able to get to a spot where we can retain our top talent, that's a huge testament to everybody that's bought into this. And we still have a long ways to go because we all want to be competitive. And you know, when you talk about where what our fans have been able to do is, whether it's things like having a third party like State 1878 come on board and really help start connecting our fans with our student athletes and helping our student athletes build their brands and capitalize off their brands. It takes everything. There's not a silver bullet. And so I'm so proud of our staff, but also so grateful for so many of our fans that have stepped up in significant ways, whether it's what they can do individually, but also what businesses. I mean, businesses like the one we're sitting in right now have stepped up and seen the true value of helping our student athletes. And in most cases, you'll see a huge return on what the businesses are getting from working with our student athletes. So again, really pleased with where we're at. But knowing this is going to be something that we got to continue to work on and continue to put ourselves in a position, because we can't expect our coaches just to go have success unless we're willing to do what success looks like today.
So when we had you on last year, you and I, we had a long discussion about a logo. I'm sure you remember. And, you know, at that time I wasn't sure about that logo and what the future of it was. Now I see it everywhere, and I love seeing it. I just want to ask, is that now official? Is that the football team's logo at this point?
You know, clearly you saw it last year prominent in the football. You know,
I was so happy.
We'll continue to display that logo, that mark. And, you know, anytime you look at whether it's a logo or a brand, you look at it for fan affinity, brand awareness. Also, you know, we're in the business of recruiting and making sure that all of our uniforms and all the gear have something that offer the young men and women we're recruiting. So we'll always look at it, but I know you'll see that mark a lot more as you saw it last year.
That's good. That's good news. I appreciate you doing that.
Have you got it tattooed yet?
No, I'm not a tattoo.
Didn't you tell me?
There's another guy on the beat that has the tattoo market covered. I don't deal with that.
I feel like he told me last year.
It's on his heart. It's tattooed right there on his heart. It's interior tattoo.
You're so sentimental.
Something like that, Zach. Something like that. I have enough shirts. Let's put it that way. The shirts are in the closet. I got my maroon and white watch on. I'm good to go. I guess we'll wrap up with this. You know, 2026, 2027, what is the athletic year about to start, as you said? What is that athletic year going to look like for Mississippi State from your perspective in terms of not only just success on the field, but what you want to get done here on campus?
Yeah, we have to just continue to build and continue to get better. We got to continue to develop. Sometimes it's I think it sounds a lot more complex than it is, but if our staff continues to get better every day and our coaches continue to get better every day, and that's the same thing we ask our athletes to get better every day. We've been so process focused, and you know, yes, everybody wants to win every game. And we hit the pitch tomorrow in soccer, Coach O'Brien in his first year, he's going to want to win the game. But we know that the reality is we're not going to win every game. But if we control everything that we can control, I like our chances, and so we'll continue to build. And there's no shortcut for just hard work every day, and that's what we'll continue to do.
As far as fundraisers go, I asked Coach Lebby if he would do one of those let the fans call the first play thing that they did up at Akron, and I wanted to do it for the media. He said no. I told him I told him we'd score.
Isn't there like a little motto in life, everything's for sale?
That's
sure
what
if you come up with the right number, we'll come up with something.
I'll have my people call your people, Zach. Zach Selman, Mississippi State Athletic Director, always a pleasure. Really appreciate your time here today. We're here.
So you could kind of the one thing I wanted to focus on was the stadium speakers that I asked about, and you can hear the disappointment, right? He clearly wants to get that done, but financially at this moment, it's not feasible that they have money going to other places right now. So if you're listening and you got a $10 million just burning a hole in your pocket or something like that, my guess is that Zach Selman would be happy to take your call. It is disappointing, though. There's no getting around that. This is a problem. This has been a problem for going on a decade at Davis-Wade Stadium. And you go to other stadiums and the sound does not like that. And Zach acknowledges that. It's something they've got to get fixed. My guess is, and it's just a guess, that this 2027, you'll probably see it get fixed just because they're going to say, we've got to do this. We've got to find the way to get this money to this situation. I don't think you can go another year past this, but it appears that this year these speakers are just not going to be where you want them to be unless something really drastic happens between now and the start of the season, which I don't expect it to. Other than that, I mean, Zach is Zach, right? Great guy. He's done a lot for Mississippi State, but there's a lot of politics in his answers. That said, I don't feel like he's hiding anything. I just feel like he's smarter than me, for one thing. That's the main thing that we have to take into account here. The man is a much smarter person than I am. It is sometimes I hear the talk about college athletics and you know, still trying to do this, that, and the other. And at some level, it's true. You know, volleyball, soccer, tennis, those are real true student athletes. Are they getting a little NIL money? Maybe here and there. But by and large, no. College football this time is just a business to me. It really is. And look, that doesn't affect my love of the game one bit. We had somebody on the text line the other day. It's like, just call it pro football. I'm done. I'm turning off the radio. And he texted right when the show ended. He's like, I did all this. And I'm just like, I know what you did. You sat and listened to this whole show. You don't fool anybody. Nobody just walks away. But it really is just big business at this point. So Mississippi State, under Zach Selman, has at least gotten themselves to a point where they can be part of the business. They were not when he took over. They were not in any way, shape, or form ready to be doing what. Imagine if Mississippi State had just stayed on the same trajectory that they were in 2023, and nothing. I would be telling you right now this team was going to win maybe one game. I would tell you they can beat the FCS team, and that's probably it. That's where they were. Where they are now is a team that I could tell you with a straight face, like, yeah, there's a way for them to win eight games. There's a way for them to be really, really good this year. That's because of the investment that Mississippi State has made and the investment that Mississippi State fans have made into their programs. And Zach Selman, Charlie Winfield, all the guys up there, Terry Prentice, Joey Bailey, even Robbie Falk, who no longer with us, they deserve credit for what they've been doing, you know, over the past few years. Robbie, obviously, a little bit more recent than that, but you know, his role is there, and I think he's doing a great job. So I wish one time someone would just be like, all these people saying we're broke need to shut the hell up. Because I get it all the time from fans of other schools. State's got plenty of money in these rosters. You would probably be surprised at the some of the numbers. You would think, wow, they're at that. It's just about NIL wasn't the reason State lost all the games they lost last year. It didn't help. They could have had better offensive linemen. But they were – NIL isn't the reason in the fourth quarter they gave away the lead against Texas. NIL is not the reason that they couldn't hold on against Tennessee. NIL isn't the reason Blake Shapen threw an interception when they could have just kicked the field goal and won the game against Florida. They have the pieces in place this year to be successful. And NIL has played a big role in that. And Zach Selman played a role in that. Always appreciate talking to the boss. And getting a chance to sit down with him. Hopefully do it again very, very soon. All right, let's move into our opponent preview and our SEC preview. That's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoke Meats and the Older Brother. Went to the Older Brother for dinner last night. Decided I was going to try something new, something different. And I got the roast chicken dinner. Guys, that is a delicious roast chicken. I'm back on the grind of counting calories. So I was like, roast chicken, that's good. Give you a whole half chicken. Delicious. The dinner menu at Older Brother continues to impress. I've been there twice for dinner. I've had two outstanding meals for dinner. But if you're like, hey, I like the sandwiches, I like the burger, still on the dinner menu as well. The burger, the croque monsieur, I could have gone that route, but that roast chicken was outstanding. Good to see those guys. I encourage you this football season, if you haven't been to the Older Brother for dinner, definitely go check that out. And, of course, Two Brothers Smoked Meats. You don't need me to tell you all the great stuff going on there. Two Brothers Smoked Meats and the Older Brother in the Cotton District. Two fantastic places here in Starkville. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for over 50 years. If you are looking for technology for your business, give Advantage Business Systems a call today. You need service after the sale, they've got you. That's how they've been able to stay up and running all of these years, is because they know how to take care of their customers. From day one, you make the purchase and you can know you can rely on Advantage Business Systems all the way down the road. 601-362-9192 or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Maroon & Co. is the place to go. If you're looking for great Mississippi State gear, you'll find it at Maroon & Co. Guys, everything Mississippi State, maroon and white, whatever you need to let people know you're a Bulldog, they've got it at Maroon & Co. Not just for the clothing, but for your house, your car, your tailgate, whatever it is. And, of course, beyond just maroon and white stuff, if you're looking for a brand-new Yeti cooler, they've got a fantastic selection. If you're looking for one of those TurtleBox box turtle speakers, they've got those. If you need new footwear, they got a great line from Adidas in there. It's all right there for you at Maroon & Co., as is our promo code, THUNDER15. Save 15% off the regular price. Some exclusions do apply. Next time you're in Starkville, which is getting closer and closer every day, you need to go to Maroon & Co. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo, they have what you want for less. What are you doing around the house this weekend? You got some home repair projects that need to be taken care of? Well, how about Scruggs' incredible selection of power tools, DeWalt, Milwaukee, and all the name brands? Yeah, you got to get out there in the garden. They got everything you need to get out there in the garden at Scruggs. You getting out on the water this weekend, do a little fishing? Unbelievable selection of rods and reels and everything you need to bring in the big catch. You want to get out in the woods this weekend? Well, you know, if you need a, come on a new rifle, new shotgun, guess what? They've got them at Scruggs. You just want to cook out this weekend? Eh, they got an unbelievable variety of grills for you to pick from. But, of course, we all got to get out there and mow the grass. A John Deere zero-turn mower, a John Deere tractor for those big jobs. Everybody has a need to mow the grass. John Deere helps you do it best. John Deere at Scruggs is the way to go. Give our friends at Scruggs your business if you're looking for a brand new John Deere mower. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo. They have what you want for less. Good Hope Land and Timber. Are you a landowner in the state of Mississippi and you need help with your land? Hey, how do I manage my land responsibly? How do I keep things sustainable? How do I make the most money off my resources and my timber? That's where Good Hope Land and Timber is willing to come in and give you a hand doing that. But if you're trying to buy or sell land, they can absolutely help you make those purchases as well. Experts in their field, make them experts in your field with a quick phone call. Give them a call today at 601-442-9888 or visit them online, g-hope.com. Locally trusted, landowner approved, Good Hope Land and Timber. Let's do the SEC preview here. We'll just zoom through this. Where's Carlos? Can I reach it? We're about to find out. Oh, gosh. If I was 6'1", dang you, Mom. My dad's 6'3". My mom was 5 foot. I got stuck in the middle. All right, Texas A&M in the college football playoff a season ago. They bring back some good pieces. Marcel Reed, one of the more divisive quarterbacks in the country. Statistically very good, but when you really watch the games, he stands out for some bad reasons from now and then. I think Mike Elko's an outstanding coach. They've got some good pieces. I like Mario Craver a lot. Obviously, he's here at Mississippi State. Figured it out, and good for him, because I think the talent was great. I would much rather him be successful at Texas A&M than become a statistic, if that's the way I have to look at it. So, good for him. Let's look at this A&M schedule. Carlo and I both have them starting off 3-0 with wins over Missouri State, Arizona State. That's an interesting game, at least. And then Kentucky. We differ in week four. I have them beating LSU. He has them losing. And I'll tell you why I have them winning that game. I've said this for the past few weeks. I think both the winner and the loser of the Ole Miss-LSU game will drop their week four games, because I think the emotion of that situation is just too great. And it's going to be such a letdown for the loser. And the winner is just going to be on way too much of a high. I don't care who wins or loses. I'm just telling you, they're both losing. Ole Miss is losing to Florida. And LSU is losing to Texas A&M. I absolutely believe that. So I actually, now that I look at it, I have A&M getting to 7-0. Wins over Arkansas, Missouri, the Citadel. And then in typical Texas A&M fashion, it goes bad for them. What does he have? He has the same. So he has them 6-1. I have them 7-0. At Alabama, I think that's a loss. I think that's a loss for the Aggies. Then the off week, they'll win at South Carolina. I have them winning at Tennessee, as does Carlo. But then they drop the last two, at Oklahoma, and then, unfortunately for Aggie fans, to Texas. So I have them 9-3. He's got them 8-4. That feels right. I feel like A&M will once again be that. It's that typical A&M situation where they get off to a great start, and everybody's like, this is the year, and it just falls apart for them. It'll really hurt for them. Think about them at I guess they would be 9-1 going into the final two games of the season. You're probably in the top five. You know, you're looking like you could get a first round bye in the playoffs. You got a chance to go to the SEC championship game, and then just like the old Big 12 days, here comes Oklahoma and Texas to knock you off your perch. So I say 9-3 for the Aggies. Carlo says 8-4. We'll do Vanderbilt tomorrow, and then next week we'll talk about the Ole Miss Rebels, and then finish up with Mississippi State. Let's go to an opponent preview now. The Alabama Crimson Tide. I will agree with what Carlo was saying the other day. This is the most gettable Alabama team since Mike Dubose was the head coach in Tuscaloosa. I guess Mike Shula, you could say, as well, when State beat them in 06. The armor, the shield of Nick Saban is completely gone. Alabama is a good team, but they are just another team at this point. They are a team that you can beat if you play the game the right way. So is that going to happen for Mississippi State? Let's find out a little bit more about Alabama. Again, brought to you by Allure Modern Wellness. Here's my conversation with AL.com's Alabama beat writer, Matt Stahl. As we do when we talk about the Alabama Crimson Tide, we have our friend Matt Stahl from AL.com. I'm sorry, we're just going to talk like regular football and not, you know, UFO sightings or whatever it is, the unusual things you delve into on the regular. Just football.
Man, there's better beat writers for Duke football. I don't know why you got to have me then.
I just like you. You're a good guy.
I'll answer the text message eventually.
You know, with your friend Nick, I texted him, I think when he was with Gannett, I texted him like 5 times. He didn't even want to answer. Like, jerk.
But, come on,
Nick. But now he's good. I've had him on since then. Who was the guy? There was an Auburn guy. I won't name a name. He didn't even, I mean, just like, not even to say, no, screw you, kiss off, whatever. Just ghost. If you're listening out there right now and you're a beat writer and I ever reach out to you to have you on, if you don't want to do it, just say no. It's fine. I'll find some.
Don't do what Brandon Marcello did and just totally ignore it. I don't know that that's the Auburn
beat writer for
the sake
of
conversation.
It wasn't Marcello. Marcello's a friend. He's been on a lot of times.
I love Marcello.
Yeah, he's great. All right. When we talked at media days, let's just start with the biggest concern for this Alabama team. You told me that you were worried about this Alabama offensive line. I look at the potential depth chart, and I see Javon James there at right tackle, and I'm like, I don't know that he was going to start at Mississippi State this year, and he may start for Alabama. This Alabama offensive line, why – this is Alabama. How did we get to this point?
Yeah, man, it's not great. You're relying on a lot of people who to show some development that they haven't shown yet on the field. I mean, look, they've returned one starter, which is Michael Carroll, and they're moving him from tackle to guard. So really everybody's playing a new position. You bring in Rayson Delgatty, who's a Cal Poly transfer to play center. We'll see how that goes. See if that translates to the SEC.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you what conference Cal Poly's in off the top of my head. Left tackle, you're playing Jackson Lloyd, who's a sophomore who hadn't really played before. I mean, they said he was like first day of spring. They're like, yep, Jackson Lloyd's going to be first team left tackle. So there's a spot. Left guard, it's either Mal Waldrop, who another guy, it's like, boy, really hope really hope there's been some development happening there. Or William Sanders, who was injured and missed the whole spring and summer. But yeah, then over at right tackle, it's either Javon James, who's, I guess, what, fifth year?
Right.
And yeah, wasn't lighting the world on fire at Mississippi State. And then Nick Brooks, who wasn't really playing at Texas. So yeah, it's, look, it could all go right. It could all come together and they're really good because I do think they're talented at the skill positions, but oh boy, if a couple of those guys don't develop like they need to, you're in real trouble.
What about the quarterback position? I said it a few minutes ago on the podcast. I really enjoy seeing all these preseason quarterback rankings that just say Alabama quarterback. They just assume the guy will be good. Between these two guys, who has the edge? I guess we're in the second week of camp now.
Yeah, that's a great question. Ryan Grubb said it was going to be until through the second scrimmage to name a starter, which last year they did that after the first one. Ty Simpson, you sort of knew it was coming. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it does sound like it's a real battle. You know, Austin Mack, I think the coaches would really, really like to start Austin Mack because, I mean, it's his fourth year in the system. He's the guy essentially they picked over Julian Sain. Now, like Julian Sain was not recruited by this coaching staff, so that was a weird situation anyway. But still, like, he's the guy you wanted in here and brought over from Washington. He's tall. He's, you know, accurate thrower. Could be very steady, I think, a quarterback. But, I mean, the ceiling on Keelan Russell, who's a sophomore, is just sort of insane by all accounts. They let him come in and compete for the starting job as a true freshman last year, which is saying something. But yeah, if I had to guess, probably like I'll hand it to Keelan Russell as an edge, but like I flip a coin right now, I think.
And then another, you mentioned the skill positions. I did an interview at Media Days with Damian Harris, former Alabama running back. And I said, you know, Damian, you're part of this long lineage of great Alabama tailbacks. And then this year when I got my All-SEC ballot, I didn't even look for an Alabama running back. It's crazy to see how poor the Tide have been the past few years at running the football. Who is that guy for the Crimson Tide this year?
Yeah, so a lot of positive just buzz around Daniel Hill, who was part of that rotation last year. I blame a lot of the running stuff last year on the offensive line, frankly, just not being able to get a push. Like the fact that you, whenever you needed to gain a 1 yard, you had to get cute and run some like 2-point conversion shootout play, the three reverses and the wide receiver pass. The fact that you had to go to one of your offensive linemen as a running back at times, like that's damning for Alabama. But yeah, Daniel Hill shed some weight, is down apparently into the 220s and is a lot faster now. So he could be a big player there. The one everybody's excited about, in typical Alabama fan, we've never seen this guy before, therefore we think he's the second coming. EJ Crowell, the five-star running back from in-state, who coaches, everybody you talk to says he's really, really good. I guess the question is, can you find it as an 18-year-old freshman? But yeah, he's sort of thought to be the next superstar there. But I mean, Hill, you got Kevin Riley could be solid in situations. AK Deer, Mississippi guy, could it, really well thought of player. I think need to mature a little bit last season, but he could be in there as well.
Defensively with this Alabama football team, bring back a lot of top guys. We're still smarting over here about Xavien Brown being first team all SEC over Kelly Jones. I think that was a miss, but Xavien Brown's a really good football player. I feel like this, I think the days of Alabama, the defenses they had in 2011, 12, those days are over. You're not going to have defenses like that anymore. But this feels, looks on paper, I should say, like a really good Alabama defense.
Yeah, I think this defense is going to kind of be a unit. The DBs you bring, I mean, everybody but Domani Jackson back, and Domani Jackson, frankly, wasn't all that good last season. So yeah, Xavien Brown, Dejon Lee at the other cornerback. You got Bray Hubbard and Keon Sabb at safety. I
Another
mean, Bray Hubbard.
Mississippi kid there.
Bray is like he's the truth. He's
He's a
really,
real
really
good player.
Linebacker is a little bit of a question. I think Caleb Woodson, because you lost all your, sort of lost all your inside linebackers there. I think Caleb Woodson, who's a Virginia Tech transfer, was a captain for Virginia Tech last season, is going to really help on that front. And then up front, like I'm excited to see what Yanze Pierre can do. He really came on strong toward the end of last season. Even Kane Womack has talked about just this pass rush wasn't where they wanted it to be a lot of the time his first 2 years as defensive coordinator, which again, sort of crazy to think about for Alabama. But I mean, Yanze came on so strong at the end, and he's again, by all accounts, looking better than ever this camp.
When you look at this Alabama schedule, where Mississippi State is on it, I mean, it's not quite a trap game. The first game, the game in front of it, South Carolina, I don't think Alabama's just got that circled.
That's
But
a trap game.
that's the trap game, you think?
That's a trap game right there. That South Carolina one. South
Okay.
Carolina and Kentucky, I think, are year two. Like, oh boy, don't look out.
Okay. Well, Mississippi State is right before the big game with Georgia. And then, the week after that's the third Saturday with Tennessee. Any concern on the Alabama end that, it's Mississippi State, you're not too concerned about it? Does this have a whiff of friskiness as a trap game?
I think it could. Like, I've not dug that hard into how good Mississippi State's going to be this year, but provided they get like a little bit better, man, it seemed like State was like this close in every home game last year. Like, things have been getting weird in Starkville for everybody. So yeah, I mean, absolutely. And that's the kind of game where, the knock on Kalen DeBoer at this point has been just some of the lack of consistency. Right, like it's, and I've described it as sort of Hugh Freeze-like, right? Like what Bama fans used to kind of make fun of Auburn and like those teams for, where it'd be like, all right, yeah, Alabama's gonna go beat Georgia, right? They're gonna beat
Yeah.
number one Georgia, and then they're gonna trip over themselves against Vanderbilt,
Yeah.
or Hugh Freeze, you go win those Alabama games and lose to Memphis later in the
Yeah.
season, so. Yes, that'll be a real tester, probably, of like, can you shake off to like what I think is going to be a difficult South Carolina game, and what everybody knows is going to be a difficult Georgia game the next week, and can you get really locked in and focused on beating Mississippi State in, I mean, just a brutal environment there?
Hopefully DeBoer understands the concept of a burner phone, but that's neither here nor there, I guess. I guess when you think about this Alabama team, and you know, it's so interesting to contrast. I used to do interviews every year with Michael Casagrande when he was on the beat as the Alabama guy. And it was like the same interview every year. I was like, all right, tell me how great they're going to be and how they're dominant and how they have all these five-star players just sitting on the bench over there. And we, to the point where we made a joke out of it. It came like a bit. And now I hear you talking. You're like, well, we'll see on the offensive line. And I don't know about that running back position. Like, what is Alabama, the program, right now?
Yeah, I think it's one of the better programs in college football. But
I would,
like,
agree with that.
Right now, I don't think it's one of the best programs in college football. Now, like, could they be national championship contenders? Sure. Do I think they are? Not really. Not for this season. There's going to be off years at Alabama now. Like, I think next year they'll be a lot older. You know, like 2027, you could really be looking at national champion contender Alabama, provided everybody doesn't like lose their mind over winning 8 games this year.
Well, I was just going to ask that question then. Like, if he goes 8-4, are they going to be able to sell that? Is Kalen DeBoer going to get coached that 2027 season?
Well, if you can't come up with – I think his buyout has him pretty safe at this point.
I think Jimbo Fisher thought that at one point too.
Sure, but Jimbo Fisher was coaching in front of a much more moneyed fan base than Kalen. I think that's some of the – like I think Alabama's leagues ahead of where it maybe used to be a few years ago in terms of, like, activating all that money. And who knows? Like, maybe there's some money that people don't want to spend on roster, but are still just only too happy to pull out for a coach buyout, you know? But, you know, you got to go to more people to raise that money at Alabama. So it's a little, it buys you a little more time. But no, the answer is you go 8-4, people they're not going to be happy.
Yeah.
It's going to be you're going to have an unpleasant time out in public, but I don't know if it gets you fired.
Does it turn into, in 2027, they better win the national title? Like, playoffs aren't enough. Semifinals aren't enough.
Now, I question whether anybody in a 12 team or, you know,
it should be 16 or 24 at that point.
Yeah, the 98 team playoff, you know, ESPN would like us to think there's a 20 team possibility, whatever. Yeah. But is there really national championship or bust for anybody when you have to go through that much of a single elimination bracket?
Yeah.
But it'll get to, like, hey, you better not embarrass us in the playoffs. You better not do that, what you just did against Indiana.
Yeah. We shall see. I'm interested in this Alabama game. I would say this is the most gettable Alabama team, obviously, since Saban was patrolling the sidelines. You know, State beat him his first year and then never beat him again. Really wasn't close in most of those games. This team, if State has some early season momentum, if they're 3-1, 4-0 playing this game, they got a chance. I think they will have a chance against Alabama. We shall see.
Yeah, it will be interesting. Shout out to my brother for getting married that day.
Oh, that's right. You won't be there.
Yep. Skipping it, which is a shame. It's truly one of my favorite places to cover a game in the league. I mean, you get the cowbells are sick, even though I hear them for the next.
Your brother, you're the brother of a sports writer. How do you do this to him? I don't know the answer.
I don't get it. I don't get to eat that ice cream.
Oh, that's right. I'll eat an extra one for you.
That's hard times.
All right. Matt Stahl, AL.com, man. Always great to talk to you, man.
For sure. Anytime.
So he told me that at Media Days, concerns about the offensive line. I mean, I didn't need him to tell me that. I just looked at their depth chart, and I see Javen James likely going to be a starter. I feel like I've really piled on Javen James. He did the best he could in year one in a situation where didn't have a lot of help around him. But this is a guy that it was not written in stone that he was going to start at Mississippi State. I would like to have him at Mississippi State. He could provide some good depth. He could be a starter for Mississippi State. But it wasn't written in stone. And yet, this guy's going to go to Alabama and start. Kedrick Bailey-Jones was not going to start for Mississippi State next year. He was going to go to Alabama and be a starter or just a huge depth piece. But what happened? This is not Alabama. And, you know, whoever the quarterback, I have gotten a kick out of seeing all these people doing preseason quarterback rankings, and they just put Alabama quarterback, I guess. Yes, Austin Mack or Keelan Russell, whoever wins that job is likely to pile up some big stats. But Yeah, let's just have a little common sense here. You know, we could you can just say you can, you know, you're allowed to say disclaimers like, "Hey, I didn't want to rank the Alabama quarterback because they haven't settled on that guy," which I believe is the only one in the conference right now. Everybody else in the conference, I don't know about Vandy for sure. I don't know about Florida for sure, I guess. But I'd be surprised if it wasn't Philo, and I'd be surprised if it wasn't Jared Curtis. At Alabama, I really don't know. I don't know which way it's going to go. So State has a good chance in that one if they have momentum coming in. 2-2, State has no chance. 3-1, State has a chance. 4-0, Mississippi State. Should I do it? I did it last year. Yes, I will do it. If State is 4-0 when they play Alabama, I will predict them to win. I know what happened last year. It wasn't my fault. It just wasn't my fault. I'm going to, I will, I, if at 4-0 Mississippi State playing Alabama, I would predict them to win. So we'll see what happens. All right, tomorrow's show, another opponent preview because we got to catch up. Missouri, our friend Caleb McAndrew from the Columbia Tribune will join us. SEC preview with Vanderbilt. I'm sure we'll find something else to talk about. Also, I'm going to be putting up the interviews that I did for the Not Fall Camp Tour on the podcast feed this week. Selman will obviously be up there today. I'm also going to throw Chris Jans up there today. I thought that was a good conversation. He talked about the changes that were made and the way they address things in the portal this year after what happened last season. I thought that was an interesting conversation. Hopefully you'll check it out. On Friday, we'll have the Coach Brian O'Connor conversation up there. Again, an interesting one there where he told us, that's the first time I've seen it said out loud by somebody who would know that Jacob Parker is making the move to center field. Found that very interesting. It's going to be a tryout. They're going to see how he does there. If it doesn't, they'll slide him back over to right. But interesting to see him make that move over to center. But that'll be for Friday. We will talk to you guys again tomorrow. Carlos should be back with us tomorrow, assuming that the North hasn't gone into a dark age of no time. We'll find out. For Carlo, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk. This is it.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.